Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The road trip is a central part of the American identity. But for many, and specifically Black Americans, the road can be a place of repression, control, and lethal violence. And that is exactly the contradiction that Amani Willett explores in his new collection, A Parallel Road. Willett teaches photography at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, and the Museum of Fine Arts has purchased two prints from this project. The full collection is also now out as a book. We caught up with Amani Willett recently, and he began by explaining this project, A Parallel Road.
My intention with this project was to really think about this idea that we have in our country of the road that holds this mythological status as a site of freedom, of exploration, of exuberance, and even quite literally the American dream. And I've always felt a little bit uncomfortable with that interpretation of the road, because my experience with the road and many of my friends and family's experience with the road has been quite different.
That was, Amani, for me, a real calling out in seeing that in this work. I spent my childhood in Michigan, which, you know, has a love affair with the automobile, to say the least, as the home of, you know, Ford and
right.
all the other motor plants, et cetera. And this idea, you know, I grew up in the way back of that station wagon, and I grew up thinking that the road trip was this amazing American experience. And there wasn't a repudiation of that in going through the way you lay out both the joys and risks for Black America of traveling those same roads.
Yeah. So I mainly study photography, and I'm a photographer. And even in the history of the medium of photography, you can see that the road trip itself is basically a whole genre of photographic practice. And some of our most iconic and known images come from this history of the, you know, experiencing America by road. But, you know, for me, what the road symbolizes is quite different. It, you know, it immediately brings up images of the civil rights movement, as the road as a politically contested space where people have fought for generations for equal rights. And it also, you know, conjures images of a more violent and horrific underbelly and aspect of American society as a site of racial violence, fear, and oppression. So one of my main goals with this project was to bring this other experience into this more known symbol of this American iconic experience of the road trip.
So I want to talk about the art of this collection, the juxtaposition. You use archival material from the Green Book. It was a book that for nearly 30 years provided Black travelers with information on safe places to eat, places to stay while out on the road. You excerpt the 1940 edition. What most stuck out to you going back through the Green Book as you were putting all of this together?
Well, actually, yeah, it's a great question. And I came across the Green Book about 10 years ago, sort of before it was in our cultural lexicon. It's really taken off, I'd say, in the last 5 years, where, you know, obviously the movie and also on scholarly research, it's been more of an artifact that's resurfaced and been unearthed. And, you know, it's really a damning document in a way, right? I mean, it lays bare the inequities, the potential violence, and the way systemic oppression had influenced the lives of Black Americans. And so just to even think about participating in this American experience that was purported to be available to everyone, they had to find innovative ways to navigate this highway system, this new highway system and roads that were, you know, actually at odds with their well-being. And so, sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just, in listening to you, it's also striking me, but the tone of the pages, now you insert things that introduce a different tone into those pages, and we can come back to that, but the tone of the Green Book pages that you use aren't dark or foreboding. They are grand adventure and road trip.
Right. So this book was created by Victor Green, a postal worker, and he, you know, reached out to his network of other postal workers in America and created this book that would allow Black Americans to navigate the country in a way that offered them places to eat, restaurants, and quite frankly, a life of leisure. If you look at Jim Crow America, I mean, there really was this parallel economy that opened up because of segregation. So there was this thriving Black economy where there were Black-owned restaurants that were packed every night, clubs that were packed every night, listings for places you could get your hair done and your nails done and all sorts of things, right? But it was all in this parallel existence because in speaking to my family members and relatives about stories from growing up in the 40s, 50s, you had to really pack your car and think very systematically about how you're going to get from point A to point B safely. So bringing pots and pans because you never knew if someone was going to allow you to use the restroom, packing food because you weren't sure where and if restaurants would allow you to eat. So this book really tried to give Black Americans a way to navigate that reality.
And then you insert, right? You insert in these pages. I missed it the first time. I went through the book the first time just looking through it. And then the second time, I cross-referenced every page with the citations that you have at the end of the book. And in doing that, I noticed the inserts that you had put into some of the Green Book pages. So on page 69, you subtly insert a quote, "Please don't tell me my boyfriend went," just like that. And that, of course, is Diamond Reynolds, the girlfriend of Philando Castile, who was fatally shot when pulled over in his automobile. What made you decide to present that information and that emotion in that way?
I think what I really wanted to do with this project was to create this emotionally resonant impressionistic experience that showed the scars of trauma that systemic oppression and racism have been inflicting on the lives of Black Americans really from the beginning of our country's history. And the way I went about doing that was using this artifact, the Green Book, and then overlaying it with basically a history of the Black American experience on the road. I mean, obviously it's not completely comprehensive, but it's constructed from old family photos from family albums. It's constructed of images from the Library of Congress with images of Ku Klux Klan members. It has contemporary photographs of people who have been harassed and profiled while driving while Black, and also screenshots and images from social media and the way that violence against Black Americans has been mediated in the last 10 or 15 years. And so I think by creating this through line, which is the Green Book as the backdrop and showing how this issue has really been going on for almost 100 years and unfortunately hasn't really changed. I mean, maybe the methodology of the intimidation and the violence has changed, but the systemic oppression has not changed.
I was struck earlier this year, we did a segment here on Radio Boston on the resurgence of the Black horror genre. And we talked about Lovecraft Country, which delves into the history of sundown towns. And you have multiple archival images of hand-painted signs warning Black people to leave town before the sun sets. Do you see this work not only as your own exploration, but as part of a larger body of expression and critical analysis that we're going through as a community and a society now?
Yeah, definitely. I would say so. And I'm glad you mentioned the sundown towns because not everyone knows about these, but these were towns, not just in the Southern America, but even here in Massachusetts where Black people were not allowed to be after the sun went down and they were, chased out or, assaulted, if they were found to be there after dark. So there is this real legacy and that something that we need to wrestle with as a society to realize that this is, not just a problem of the South, but it was happening in our own backyard. This idea of the horror genre has been a really interesting way to create a metaphor for this issue of the fear and the violence that Black Americans have faced, that it is really this horror and this trauma. And I was thinking about that a bit when I made this project. And you know, there is that side of it. And what has been really great for me is the way that people have responded to the book, and they've been able to relate to that sense of dread, that sense of unease that is created through the project, and for people to rethink their relationship to the road, right? To rethink their relationship to some of the privileges they've had as maybe white American or someone who's male, right? To navigate the country in a way that wasn't really possible for Black Americans, for women, frankly, you know, in earlier years or even still now. So it's getting at those ways to for people to emotionally understand the trauma, I think. And that's, I think, the similarity between maybe the horror genre and what I'm doing.
You know, thinking about the emotion and the trauma, you don't allow us in this work to ascribe these events to history. You very carefully bring forward current events. We talked about Philando Castile. You have Sandra Bland, a picture of her smiling on one of the pages. And then you have pictures from your own collection. You have your family. You have you. Did it cost you something to create work that doesn't shy away from the fact that we are still experiencing this violence, and then to situate some of yourself, your family, and your own art in that arc?
Well, I'll have to say, I mean, it was really powerful experience to, you know, interview family members, to hear about their troubles on the road, you know, how they have often thought twice about even getting in their car and driving at times, or a cousin who's was stopped by the police and separated from her young children, and her children forced in the back of a separate police car, and just not knowing what was going to happen to them because of the color of their skin. But to go through that archive that my family generously offered me, I'd had hundreds and hundreds of pictures of my family members with cars over the years, and to be able to use my family's experience to talk about what I feel is a really important larger issue. Because, you know, at the end of the day, this project is about the American road, but it's also a microcosm of what is happening just generally with race relations and systemic oppression in our country and our country's history. And so to be able to use my family's experience to talk about those issues felt quite, feel like I had a lot of responsibility, but it was also quite profound and something that I found to be really, I guess in a way I'm proud that I could use my family's experience, you know, I feel to and connect them to this history and to hopefully use their experience to bring to light some of the injustices.
That was artist Imani Willett. He teaches photography at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, and his new collection is called A Parallel Road, which is out now as a book.